My name is Paul Knowles. I was born in Huntington, Arkansas, 1931. That means I'm 78 years old.
Wow.
I'm the oldest Knowles that there is. And you're not going to be the oldest Knowles long. There's somebody else that's going to replace you. Maybe a year, maybe tomorrow, maybe in 10 years. But you won't be the oldest Knowles long. And that's exactly what the way life is.
Is there any stories you can tell us about your grandparents or great-grandparents?
My grandfather, he never went to school, but he knew music. And he taught everyone on my mother's side, he taught them all music. And he had a little band made up of the children of the family, and they played dances on Saturday nights, like at the barn dance, you know. And it was amazing that he never went to school at all. Well, he went to the fourth grade, but he learned to read music and was able to teach music, and that carried on throughout our family.
So me and you both know Portland's a great place, but what brought you here?
My family is very religious, and I wanted to buy a nightclub, so I wanted to live in Seattle. But they had all moved to Seattle, and so I knew how they would feel about me selling alcohol because they were so religious. So I decided that, well, maybe I'll go to Portland. I need a place where there's a nice African-American community. So that's when I came to Portland and opened a nightclub, 1963.
Can you describe what the Cotton Club was like?
Well, the Cotton Club, our slogan was, it was the only nightclub on the West Coast with wall-to-wall soul. So that gives you an idea of the kind of spot that we had. I mean, on any given night, it was a place to see and be seen. You would come there to see who's going to be there and be seen there. And we had music, had a jam session on Sunday that all the musicians would come in and set in. And then at night, we would feature the floor shows. And we bought some famous people through, you won't remember these names, but Big Mama Thornton, she did the song Hound Dog before Elvis Presley, and then that company stole it from her, but she did come through the Cotton Club. Little Esther Phillips, she was a singer and she could sing those blues. We brought in all of our acts from California. It was just the spot. On any given night, you might look up and, like one night, my wife went to a concert for Sammy Davis Jr., and she asked him to come over, and then Sammy showed up, and he got up and sang a song with my little three-piece band and signed autographs and took pictures with everyone all night long. We closed at 2:30, but Sammy was there until about 4 that morning, just entertaining. Then one night, after the Mamas and Papas finished their concert, I looked up, and here was Mama Cass walking in the place. And Mama Cass was not a small person, you know, so you recognize Mama Cass when she walked in, you know. But to see people come in your spot like that, that means they've heard about it and they just wanted to hit it to see what it was like. Joe Louis came in one night, you know, the Brown Bomber. And so when people like that visit your spot, it makes it very, very famous.
So back then when you walked through the doors, how did it make you feel? What did it sound like?
When I walked through the doors at night when the show was on?
Yeah.
Well, if all my waitresses are on the ball and the bartenders are slinging drinks, you know, and the music's going, it make you feel very good. You know, you're going to have a good night, you know, at the end of the night. You know, it's going to be a good night.
What did people usually wear?
Well, back in the 60s, of course, polyester was the clothing, and a lot of loud colors. You know, your pants might be yellow and red, or blue and gray, or whatever. But there's a lot of checkered colors, you know. So people dressed that way, and they had shirts with the frivol down the front, you know, with the sleeves puffed. That was the style. Not a lot of hats in those days because the afro, everyone had the big afro, so people didn't wear a lot of hats. But that was the era, you know.
What was the neighborhoods like in the 1960s and 70s?
Okay, the neighborhoods were, African Americans lived no farther east than about 22nd or 23rd. I remember a lady that a friend of ours bought a house on 21st and Thompson, and someone set a cross on her lawn and burned it to let her know that she wasn't welcome in the neighborhood, you know. And this was 1963, 64. And most of the African Americans lived around Emmanuel Hospital in that area. But then as times changed and Emmanuel tore down the business on Williams and Russell, then, of course, they had to have a place to move. So people started moving all over, even further north.
Why did the Cotton Club close its doors?
Oh, that's a real tragic story. See, I had a crowd. I had the white people came like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then on weekends, the club would turn to African Americans come out. They didn't come out every night then. So I had the best of both worlds. Around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I got all the car dealers, all the car salesmen. They would come after they get off work. And then the night people would come. And then there was a news reporter with the Oregon Journal. His name was Doug Baker. And he liked our shows. So Doug would come to see the show. And the next day, he would write down an article about the show he saw at the Cotton Club last night. And all these white people show up, you know. Whoa, that's great, you know, because the money's coming in. And then on weekends, you know, the African Americans came out. So I had the best of both worlds. But then when Dr. King got killed in 1968, that started to separate the races. So the whites stopped coming because the blacks were there, and the blacks stopped coming because the whites were there. So here I am sitting there with this business, and I have no business, you know. I mean, it just separated the races just like that. I mean, overnight. And that's why the Cotton Club went down.
What was the most stressful experience that you ever lived through?
I think it was the Dr. King assassination. That was hard. Well, I had three businesses going then, and I had to close them all, you know, because they didn't want people drinking and going out doing things that they would regret later. So I did actually close my businesses there for about 4 days till the heat was off. I think that was the worst time.
What helped you get through it?
You know, I would go out at night and try to make sure that if I saw anyone on the streets that was planning on doing anything, that talk them down. You know, you don't want to go to jail for the next 20, 25 years.